Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. The Bible tells us that God is our ever-present help in times of need. Therefore, we, like David, can cry out to God, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me," and He will answer us. In today's message, Pastor Joel continues the series entitled, From the Pit to the Promise, Our Help Comes from the Lord.
It's Resurrection Sunday, and instead of being dressed on the outside, we'd rather be dressed on the inside.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We want to be dressed in righteousness, because that's why Jesus came in the first place, amen,
amen,
to give us that. We want to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ, amen,
amen.
And we want to be clothed in righteousness.
Amen.
You know, it says in Zechariah 3, verse 4, Zechariah had a vision, and in that vision, he saw Joshua, the high priest. And Joshua was coming before the accuser of the brethren. You know who the accuser is, right? We all know that's Satan. And Jesus said to Joshua, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you."
Hallelujah.
"And I will clothe you in rich robes." Amen. That's what Jesus said. And that particular scenario is poignant, because in that vision, no one could take away sin except Jesus.
Except Jesus.
No one could take away the sins except Jesus. And that's exactly why Resurrection Sunday is a very, very special day. Amen.
Amen.
Very special. It's such a special day. Because when Jesus died, was buried, and then was resurrected from the tomb, from the grave, guess what? He stood to resurrect each of our lives.
Thank
even
you,
today.
Amen. You,
Amen. So we can rise above, okay? And we can be resurrected from the grave, the graves of the pits of our mind and so forth. Each one of us stands to be delivered from sin and become what? Dressed in righteousness.
Amen.
And I know you all look good, but you're dressed in righteousness just as well. I'm looking at Brother Terry on there. Look at him. Well, I'll tell you what.
And Sister Patricia.
And Sister Patricia and everybody else, all of you. I see Brother Johnny. Ooh-wee, this is nice. Anyway, this is another example of what we've been talking about. When you're dressed in righteousness, the Lord brings you out of the pit into the promise. Amen. And that's what we're talking about today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, your favor. We thank you for sending us a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We can't thank you enough for our Lord and Savior who died, Lord, who stood for the propitiation of our sins.
Yes,
we thank you, Lord, that we can now go from the pit to the promise of life eternal with you. So be with us today, Lord, as I preach and teach this word that you've given me. I pray that it'll fall on ears ready to receive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And the house says,
amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Praise God. All right, we're continuing. We're continuing with our sermon, which is From the Pit to the Promise, Knowing Where Your Help Comes From. And I spoke last week. On last week, I spoke and gave various examples of how it is to be in a dire situation and need help. When you're in a bad spot, you know, you don't need just help, you need the right kind of help. And that's what we were talking about, adequate help. So we looked at a portion of King David's history. We started back in Psalm 40 and verses 1 and 2. If you remember what we talked about last week, even if you don't, I'll tell you. In that psalm, David speaks about how he was in a horrible place. He was in a pit. He was physically in a horrible place. And how it was that God had to bring him out of the pit. See, the Lord was the only one that could help David at that time out of that pit. If you remember, he was pursued. He was being pursued by people. All right? And I said last week that there are all kinds of pits that we can fall into. Doesn't have to be a physical thing. It could be a mental pit.
Amen.
You could be in the doldrums, just having all kinds of anxiety. Some people are being diagnosed as bipolar. They're in a psychological pit. There are all kinds of pits that we can be in. But David, I call these pit problems. And David's pit problem was that he had fallen into this pit where people were after his life. And he didn't know where to find adequate help. He had to go to the Lord. That's where his help was coming from. Amen?
Amen.
And I gave the definition of a pit as being a large hole. That's what it is. A pit is a large hole. Remember, I used the analogy of a sinkhole, where you're driving along and the asphalt just cracks, and before you know it, your whole vehicle is in a pit, 12 to 25 feet down sometimes. And you know, that's what happens. Your vehicle, your vessel, your physical vessel, you, your body, your spirit, in a pit, okay? Falling way below the surface, okay? That's when the ground collapses under us. That's what we're talking about. It collapses underneath you and you fall into a cavernous hole. That's what it's like to be in a pit, all right? And it's practically impossible to get out of a pit. It's like a slippery slope. It's very difficult to get out of a pit without the proper help. Have you ever seen an overturned truck on the freeway?
Mm-hmm.
Not just any tow truck can get that thing right side up. Sometimes those men stand there and scratch their heads. They're waiting for 2 or 3 hours for the right vessel to come along and pick that truck up. That's how it is when we're in a pit. Okay, that's what it's like to be in a pit. And I just want you all to know that if we haven't figured it out by now, let me tell you that sin is a pit.
Hmm.
Sin is a pit hole. Matter of fact, sin is a pit. All right, let's put it like that.
Amen.
Sin is a pit which is not easy to just climb out of by yourself. All right, you're going to need the right help to get out of your sinful state. Our sinful state. And again, that's why Jesus came in the first place. With him, we are able to climb out of our pits of sin.
Mm-hmm.
I also explained that you can fall into a pit of sin. Now watch this. You can fall into a pit of sin, and then that sinful pit can cause you to fall into another pit. Okay? A different pit of sin. Now you're in an even deeper pit. Because that one pit can crack. It's like walking on eggshells. Some pits trigger chain reactions of other pits. Did you know that? That's in the Bible. Don't believe me? Read Genesis about Adam and Eve. Okay? Their original sin is still causing cracks right now of sin. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Soon as they sinned, it started spreading. That's why it says a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Sin is pervasive. One of my older brothers, whom I love dearly, 2 years older than me, took care of me when I was young. He was a very gentle fellow. He was probably the opposite of me physically. He was very, very gentle, a pianist, an artist, very, very well educated, everything else. He fell into a pit of drug abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were both the same as far as we had never drank or never smoked or had drugs or anything like that. So his system was virtually untouched. But he got with the wrong crowd and he took one hit of cocaine. One hit of cocaine. And he fell into a deep, dark pit. My brother was 16 at the time. Anyway, he fell into that pit. And he just couldn't get out. And do you know that he stayed in that pit for the rest of his life? He never came out of that pit. He exhausted his finances. He had a good job. He had money. He'd buy a car every 2 years. The boy was doing good. They wanted him to be an artist. Even when he came to California, they were going to put him up in Piedmont, California, and going to sell his paintings. For him, he had agents waiting. He had people putting up money for paintings, but they didn't know that he was in a pit. See, sometimes we can disguise ourselves and it's like a Halloween party or something. You're wearing a costume where you look right, but you're still in a pit. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was still in a pit. And you know what? He started losing everything. He couldn't keep his appointments. He lost his finances. He lost his friends, his so-called friends. He lost his possessions. He lost his apartment. And then he started to steal, see, because he didn't know any other way. And he wasn't good at stealing. He fell into another pit once he started stealing, because you know what happened? He went to prison. He went to jail, and then he stole again, and then they put him in prison. So he developed a prison record. So then he found it hard to find anyone who would hire him, and he wound up on the streets. That was another pit, the pit of homelessness. He fell into that pit. He then became angry and aggressive, you see, because he wasn't a fighter like his little brother. So when my brother was on the streets, he was always a victim, all right? He was a victim of violence and beatings, and I would have to come to the hospital and find him all beaten and swollen up and take him to my house, and it was so sad. So instead of succumbing to these frequent attacks, he learned how to attack first. He wasn't good at it, but he learned how to attack first, and that then brought on assault charges, all right? And guess what? More prison time. Do you see what I'm saying? You see how the pit cracks and deepens and widens? Such is the nature of sin. Eventually, of course, my brother, my closest brother, whom I love dearly, he died on the streets from a massive drug overdose. We think it was fentanyl at the time, because it was going around, and a lot of drug addicts were taking hits of this, and it was 10 to 100 times stronger than the drug they were used to. Well, they found him dead, and the department called me, and I had to ID his body. Person whom I loved so much. But when I saw him, the person whose body I had to ID looked nothing like the gentle young man whom I was raised with. I'll never forget the expression on his face. It was etched on his face, and it was as if he was frightened to death. Died with his mouth open and his eyes booked, something he saw. Or maybe it was the drug, because he bled internally. How I wish he'd known Jesus. I couldn't help him out of his pit. I wasn't the one. I couldn't do it. No matter what I tried, it didn't work. I mean, see, you have to love Jesus to the point that you will follow him wherever he tells you to go, whatever he tells you to do, because your life revolves around Jesus. It says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's also the way out of a pit.
Amen.
I mean, any and all pits. I want you all to know that. So let's do this. Let me take you to the Bible. Let's go to scripture and verse right now. I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa, sister, friend. I said, you know, we don't celebrate bunnies on Easter or what the people call Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. But this is an ever-ready bunny right here. So I'm going to call, I'm going to ask her to take us to scripture, please.
Amen.
And read from the book of Romans, chapter 6. Verses 1 to 4.
Romans 6, 1 to 4.
Yes, ma'am, please.
Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Mm-hmm. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Here we gain the understanding that when we become baptized in Christ Jesus, then we become baptized unto his death. And what that means is that just as Jesus experienced death on the cross, right, and he was raised or resurrected from the dead, all who are baptized in Christ have put on Christ.
Amen.
And that means that we now have an intimate and enduring connection to Christ. All right? That's what we need to understand. So now we identify with his death and resurrection. Whereas Jesus died on the cross physically and was raised from the dead, we then benefit from his sacrificial act. Okay? We benefit by being brought into deep communion with Christ.
Amen.
All right? So that's what this means. This points to sanctification, actually. All right? Which means that we die to sin. You get it? We die to sin. Our old man dies and is buried just as Jesus died and was buried in the tomb. Our old man or old woman, if you are a female, I'm not calling you old woman, old women. But I'm just saying the old man or the old woman dies just as Jesus died and was buried in the tomb. And our new man, our new woman is resurrected and raised just as Jesus was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. And it comes with power. It comes with power to resist sin. You see what I mean? That's what this means. Now, Pastor, I'm going to stay in that same chapter. Can you stay right there and go to 5 and 11? Romans 6, verses 5 to 11. And read down to there for us, please.
Romans 6, verses 5 to 11 tells us, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Mm-hmm. "Knowing this, that your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, mm-hmm. that we should no longer be slaves of sin."
That's right.
"For he who has died has been freed from sin. Mm-hmm. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more death, no longer has
died,
dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Mm-hmm. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Mm-hmm. But the life that he lives to God."
Right.
"Likewise, also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
All right. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. Okay. So this further explains the power of Christ's resurrection. So powerful and important was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ because mankind now has the privilege of being freed from sin. Do you see what I mean? He opened the door. He let us out. We're told in verse 11, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead yes. indeed to sin, but alive in God yes. in Christ Jesus our Lord." Okay? So now do you see why Resurrection Sunday is something that just shouldn't be on Sunday? It should be every day of our lives,
yes,
in us,
yes.
all right? It has nothing to do with an Easter bunny or getting new clothes, but it's about a new life in Christ. I never figured that out anyway, because as far as I know, bunnies don't lay eggs, so I never knew about the connection. Anyway, let's look at another key text of Scripture, which helps to understand the advantage we have. This is going to be in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It helps us to understand the advantage we've been given since Jesus went to the cross for us.
2 Corinthians 5, 21.
Mm-hmm.
5, 21 tells us that, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him."
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Here again, we see the significance of Christ laying it all down for mankind. That's what he did. He laid it all down for us. All right? He was considered the sinless lamb. But he assumed our sinful roles so that we could be set free and walk in the newness of life. We need to take advantage of that. Do you all see that? You all understand that? We need to take advantage of that. I hope we do. See, my brother didn't see that because my brother was not committed to Christ. All right? He didn't know Christ that way. As a matter of fact, out of the 7 boys that my mother birthed, only one that I know of is truly following Christ, and that's me. And I probably would not have followed Christ had he not come to me in such a supernatural way. But I'm the only one that I know of. 5 of my brothers are now dead from various things. Murder, alcoholism, drugs. There's only two of us left, and we're left to get it right. We're left to get it right. Now, factor that into your life, because we all have a story. Factor that into your family's lives. You all know somebody in your family who's on the in a pit, teetering, or about to fall in a pit or fall deeper into a pit. That's what we're talking about. How many are stuck in a pit? Who do you know that needs to be pulled out of a very sinful lifestyle? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the one true God who can and will pull them out of the pit and into the promise. That's what he wants to do. The promise of being able to walk away from sin, to have the weight of sin lifted off your shoulders. See, Jesus came and died for everyone, every one of us who are under the weight of sin. It's got you all broke down, you know, got you walking like I walk sometimes, not because of sin, just because of my pain. But sometimes you just got to straighten up, you know, or Jesus straightens you up. And he gets you, he takes that burden off of you. That's what I'm saying, okay? He takes the burden off of us because we're under the weight of sin. As I said before, and I always quote that scripture, I quote it quite a bit, 1 John 5:19, that said the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We're under the sway of sin. Each and every one of us. So we've got to work on that thing. Now we're going to go to Matthew. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 11. Chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Let's go there, Pastor.
Matthew 11, verses what?
28 to 30.
28 to 30 tells us, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor. How many of you know that there are various things that you can be yoked together with? Just think about it. You can be yoked together with the wrong folks. You can be yoked together with the wrong habits. Yoked together with the wrong ideas. Yoked together with whatever. These are pit principles, okay, that we've been talking about. We've been talking about this since last week, so you all know I don't have to bring up a lot of examples. There are a lot of things that you can be yoked together with. Even in your mind, you can be yoked together with anger. You can be yoked together with covetousness, for you want what somebody else has. All of these things will put you in a pit. You can be yoked together with self-aggrandizement where you just think you're the cat's meow. You think you're the bunny rabbit, okay? You can be yoked together that way, but Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Let me take that burden off of you before you get yourself in a deeper pit.
Amen. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page. at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. Walk with us through the Bible Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the conclusion of From the Pit to the Promise with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is good.